How have you not seen this?
Welcome back to Hell If You've Not Seen This. As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I'm joined by becoming a regular guest on the show, Peter Brick.
Hey, how's it going?
And we just watched Tango and Cash, the last installment in our action movie series this month, tying into the Struck a Nerve pop culture mixtape show that I run. It's been a lot of fun doing these and doing some films not necessarily considered classics, but fun nonetheless in their own rights. Tango and Cash, of course, 89 buddy cop action flick with Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell, arguably two of the most bankable action stars at this period. Stallone, of course, hot off several Rambos, Cobras, Over the Tops, all the other things, the Rocky franchise, and then Kurt Russell, who had been prominent and a lot of the John Carpenter stuff, as well as Overboard. So both pretty big established stars by this point, coming together like the peanut butter and the chocolate in a Reese's with explosions.
Yeah.
So Peter, how have you not seen this?
Well, I guess it was made in 89. Mm-hmm. I'm a 90 baby.
Okay.
So by the time I was old enough to, like, remotely old enough to see any movie, like that, it was too late. I didn't know about it.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, now that you've seen it, what did you think?
Oh, it was cool. I mean, it's definitely an 89 movie.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
It was enjoyable. It just had all it had the high five at the end.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that you got as excited about the high five as I did. You so very rarely see that in the movie without it being ironic.
Yeah.
Anymore, and, like, just, like, a knowing wink, where this is, like, nope, this movie meant every fucking second of it.
No, yeah, they were very sincere in, like,
yeah,
every aspect of the movie.
Oh, absolutely. One of my favorite things about this movie, and you mentioned this very early on, is the fucking score.
Yeah.
I love the music in this movie. Like, I think of action movie scores. The one from Predator jumps out a lot, because that's a very good score by Alvin Silvestri.
Yeah.
And then this one, because, like, I don't think that there's a more appropriate action movie score. Like, it's like, kind of cheesy, but it's also, like, it definitely sets the tone for the scenes very well.
Yeah.
It's not like, we did Lethal Weapon recently, and there are a lot of saxophones in that movie score. To the point where, like, it almost seems inappropriate. Like, somebody dubbed in, like, a joke score and hoped that nobody would notice. But this score is very fitting.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Like, at first I was kind of like, oh, it's that 80s, like, doo, 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 doo.
Yeah.
I was trying to, like, come up with, like, well, like, if I could change it, what else? Like, yeah. What would I make the music sound like? And I was like, you know, I can't come up with anything. This just fits.
The do 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 do. And they do, like, I think they do, like, three or four variations. There's like a hey, here's these guys meeting for the first time, and then hey, there's a car chase and a shootout. Like,
yeah,
they switched it up. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Of course, let's just work through the movie. The opening scene with Sylvester Stallone, where he just parks in the middle of the highway in front of a tanker truck, and shoots at the guys to scare them. They stop the truck, go flying through the windshield. The semi truck somehow miraculously stays stopped.
Yeah.
After they go through. Like, it doesn't, like, continue rolling,
like,
through.
Even a slight, like,
I was like, yeah, like, that guy slammed on the brakes, but did not put it in park.
Yeah, or maybe he shifted into park while he was going through the windshield.
Yeah, like, he accidentally, like, wow.
Safety first!
I also love how kind of self-aware this movie is, too, to an extent. Because, like, again, in that first scene, they're yelling at Ray Tango, Sylvester Stallone's character, because they think he's full of shit on this truck he stopped.
Yeah.
And at one point, one of the guys says, oh, he thinks he's Rambo. And Stallone just responds, Rambo is a pussy. And then shoots a hole in the tanker truck, revealing that the tanker is filled with cocaine.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, cocaine in a tanker.
Cocaine, you guys. I like this movie a lot, too. I don't know that it's necessarily, like, on my short list of action movies, but I do, I remember seeing it at a very young age, and, like, it's one that's stuck with me over the years. I love Stallone and Kurt Russell both very much. This certainly would not be my favorite from either of them, but I do like seeing them teamed up together, and I also, I like that Stallone, for the majority of this movie, is kind of cast against type.
Yeah, very much.
Like, he's definitely, like, he's still very much, like, an action hero in this movie, but he's, like, very straight-laced. Like, at one point, his boss tells him he dresses and acts like a banker.
Yeah.
Like, he takes a call from his stockbroker at one point.
Or the way he talks to people.
Yeah, yeah, the way he talks to, like, yeah, he's, like, he's very refined, like, he's clearly very educated.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah, whereas, like, every other time you see him, like, he's very much, like, a Rambo-type character.
Fuck him.
Yeah, exactly. But, this movie keeps that characterization for the majority of it. But, yeah, it's really cool to kind of see that. And then, of course, Kurt Russell is just, oh, dreamy.
Yeah, yeah.
That feathered hair of his.
His jeans.
Yeah, yeah, just that very casual look.
Yeah, at one point he's wearing, like, a pirate shirt. Kind
yeah.
of a pirate look.
Yeah,
shirt.
Yeah, yeah, that white shirt, yeah.
Yeah.
I also, very early in the scene, an assassination attempt is made on Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And he has a gun boot. which, I'm very disappointed that they didn't do more stuff with Owen, who was essentially, like, the Q character from James Bond in this
yeah.
movie. It's like, oh man, I want so many more scenes with Owen, where he's just giving Kurt Russell these gadgets. At one point, Kurt Russell uses a lockpick disguised as a bullet, though. But because for some reason a lockpick might tip his hand, but just carrying around like an errant, like
a
fucking
a loose bullet.
Yeah, like just like a 562 millimeter shell.
Yeah, just a rifle. Yeah, it's just a rifle bullet to keep in my pocket.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what's the?
Oh,
it's a lockpick.
Yeah.
Like, it's so silly, but it's fun though.
Yeah,
and then of course when they get that bulletproof SUV essentially with like the guns on it and everything.
Yeah, that's where I want to work. I want to work at the LA Police Department, like in
but,
their
like,
research
but
and development.
Q branch.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
research
yeah.
and development. Like everybody else is like really tight knit. They're in their
yeah.
uniforms. They've got their protocols. And then you just go in a back room and they're making
yeah.
animatronic dogs with
guns. Oh my
guns
god, the dog with the gun barrel in his mouth is so great.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my gosh.
Like, this is fun. Like, yeah, this is the part of police work that would be cool. Like, I'm an ideas man. I could work in the Q branch. And you probably don't have to, like, pass, like a fitness test or anything to
no.
do that. Like,
yeah.
you're just in a lab. You're like, hey, what if we build a stuffed dog with a gun barrel in its mouth?
Yeah.
Like, there's a small part of me that almost wanted to see them make, like, an ED-209 type thing. Like that robot from RoboCop.
Yeah, yeah.
like, just to see how ridiculous they could have gone with this movie.
That would have been sweet.
Yeah. I also love... I never... Like, this never really occurred to me before... Gabriel Cash, Kurt Russell's character.
Yeah,
almost all of the guns he uses has a laser sight on it,
mm-hmm.
which looks really cool. But at the end of the day, means that he is just a lousy shot.
yeah, he's got a huge gun, and like the sight, like in the at least in like the first like part of the movie, like he's
yeah.
got this like big like revolver.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the sight on top of it is almost bigger.
Yeah, yeah, almost bigger than the barrel from, like, the fucking handle at the end of the barrel. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very ridiculous, but, like, for whatever reason, it was an understood rule. It was like, no, you put a laser sight on a gun, it makes him look way cooler.
Yeah, no.
And, like, that's what I do, because, like, now anytime you do see that in movies, like, they're much more tactical, they're much more discreet.
Yeah, they're a lot more finesse.
Yeah, like, it's just, like, a very small, like, thing that would be smaller than the palm of your hand that, like, clips to the underside, too.
Yeah.
It's also weird, too, because, like, a sight on the top of a gun doesn't account for drop-off.
No, yeah.
Like, at all. Whereas, like, because it makes so much more sense to have a sight on the bottom of a gun. Like, I don't know a lot about the physics and stuff of guns, but I imagine over a longer distance, it doesn't maintain the current trajectory, and it drops rather than magically shoots up.
Yeah, and it's probably just a lot more cumbersome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It looks like a big, like, red mag flashlight taped to his gun.
Well, then, yeah, and how, like, it's very fucking weird.
Yeah.
I'm trying to some of the other things. Jack Palance as the villain in this movie, as Perrette. And this was 89, so this was the same year that Batman came out. The first one, Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson, which Jack Palance is also a villain in.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Jack Palance is very good in Batman. Like, he's just good in these kinds of roles. Like, he's always best as a villain. And the earliest instance I can think of is in the movie Shane, which is one of my favorite westerns. And he's just this mean, like, murderous fucking cowboy who comes in and is just being shitty to, like, innocent townspeople and everything. But yeah, he's phenomenal in roles like this.
Yeah, he's good for that type.
Oh yeah, definitely. R.I.P. JP.
Yeah.
then of course you had Breon James, who was Rakeem, the British guy.
Yeah.
This was my first introduction to him, but now I know him better. He's in Fifth Element.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah. He's he is the former commander of Bruce Willis. And that, the one that recruits him for the mission, but he has an American accent.
I'm trying to remember that.
Yeah, like it's coming.
Okay.
But he wears a beret for the entirety of the movie too. He looks different. But I also, more notably, because it's one of my favorite movies as well, I know him from Blade Runner.
I saw Blade Runner once a bit ago.
Yeah. Oh, he's great in Blade Runner.
Who was he in Blade Runner?
He's one of the four replicants, and I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, is he the last one?
No. Okay. That's Rucker Hauer. Okay. It's Roy Batty. It's going to bug me that I can't think of the fucking replicant's name. Leon is the replicant's name.
Okay, I'll have to go back and visit
him. He's in the very opening scene. He's the one that's getting the Voight Kampff test, where they're asking him all the questions about, like, the tortoise and how he felt about his mother and everything.
Uh-huh.
So I know Breon James, I most associate him with that role now.
Okay. Okay, awesome. I'm going to have to see that movie again.
Yeah, oh, it's such a great fucking movie. Yeah. It's one of my favorites.
I liked the main villain you were saying.
Jack Palance?
Yeah, Jack Palance. He, like, they break into his compound, and he just has a fleet
of
vehicles just waiting there.
Yeah, all of them, like, outfitted with gun turrets and stuff, too.
And it's, like, 90% monster trucks.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Not enough monster trucks in action movies anymore.
Yeah, and, like, the speed at which they responded to Kurt Russell and Stallone just smashing through the gate was immediate. So you know they were just sitting there waiting.
Yeah, like, come on. We know they're coming for us.
Come on.
This movie also has one of my favorite sequences, the prison escape.
Mm.
It's such a great sequence. Shot at the now-defunct Mansfield Reformatory Prison.
No kidding.
Yeah, they shot part of Shawshank there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple scenes from Air Force One that were shot there.
That's crazy.
To a less notable extent, the Godsmack video for Awake was shot entirely there.
Yeah, I lost me there.
But yeah, there were a couple. I feel like there was maybe one or two other things. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. Because I also, for a very brief time, I lived in Mansfield too, and then I got to go there, like, on a school field trip, and we had a tour guide, like, who was telling us about, like, I already knew about Tango and Cash beforehand.
Yeah.
Because it was just a movie that had been with me since my youth, and my mom was always like, oh yeah, they shot this in Mansfield, because, like, she loves Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And apparently the other group's tour guide only talked about the Godsmack video their whole tour. I was like, oh my god, I'm so glad I didn't get that tour, because that just sounds awful.
Yeah,
Godsmack in here. I was like, and god, what? Sorry. Were they as shitty a people as their music is? but yeah, that entire prison sequence is so fucking cool. And we get a very brief appearance by Clint Howard.
Yeah.
As Slinky.
I saw him. I was like, what else is he in? Because I know
so many things. Yeah. Rock and Roll High School.
Yeah.
Arrested Development. He's okay. the guy that lives in the tree.
Yeah.
And he's one of those ones that, like, you know he's in a bunch of shit, but I can never, like, pinpoint anything,
I've seen
like, immediately
stuff.
Off the top of my head. But, yeah. He's in all kinds of things. Like, and he is. He's one of those, I know this guy. He's one of, like, he's a very good character actor, too. Little brother of Ron Howard, as well. So, and I feel like I'm pretty sure he's popped up in a couple of Ron Howard things. Like, I want to say he's in the Grinch as well, like the live action one with Jim Carrey.
I could see him. Yeah, I could see him as a who.
Yeah. and I'm pretty sure there's like a couple other Ron Howard related things as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, Clint Howard, fucking great.
He's great. Very. He's like a hobbit. He could be a hobbit too.
Yeah,
he's,
oh man. If Clint Howard had been fucking Bilbo Baggins, if only.
Totally different movie.
Yeah. Better movie, maybe. I've only seen the first one still, and I...
Oh, you've only seen the first Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. No. I've seen all the Lord of the Rings.
Okay, yeah.
I haven't seen all the Hobbits.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah,
I've only seen the first Hobbit.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
I was like, how are you the person you are and, like, only seen the first Lord of the Rings movie?
Oh, no. I saw every single Lord of the Rings in the theaters. I saw Return of the King 3 times in the theaters, which
so
I hated.
Epic.
But it's also like it's my least favorite of the three, though.
Really?
Because it's so much, because it has so many of those false flag endings.
Yeah.
That like it really, I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
Like I definitely, and that's the thing too, is I need to rewatch them because I haven't seen them since they were in the theater.
Yeah.
So like I remember seeing them, I remember really liking them, but I have not watched them in over 10 years. Like I'll catch snippets of like Fellowship when it's on like TBS every now and then or whatever. But, yeah, I have not seen them in their entirety since they originally came out in the theaters. But I saw every single one, like, opening night when they came out.
That's sweet. Oh, you got to see the extended versions.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, is, like, I've kind of been holding off. Is like, yeah, I want to find the point where I can, like, set aside an afternoon and
watch
it. Because that's the thing, too, is, like, I don't... If I watch the entire thing, I don't want to watch them all separately. Like, I want to watch them all together.
Oh, yeah.
As Peter Jackson intended.
Yeah, that is an undertaking.
So yeah, I gotta find a Saturday where I'm not trying to finish The Wire.
What were we talking about?
Oh, Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash.
Yeah, and Peter Jackson. Why isn't Kurt Russell in these movies?
Why wasn't Peter Jackson in there?
Yeah. Good old Peter Jackson. I'm trying to think. What else with this movie?
The villain had just a random House of Mirrors off to the side.
Yeah. I assume you've seen Enter the Dragon, right? With Bruce Lee?
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Peter.
Clips.
We got to fix that. That final, the scene with Jack Palance reminds me of Enter the Dragon, of course, because the finale of Enter the Dragon is Bruce Lee, like, chasing the drug lord through like a hall of mirrors, and him like randomly attacking him out of nowhere, and then like him having to figure out which like one he is.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's such a fucking, it's one of my favorite like scenes in an action movie.
That's sweet.
It's so cool. So yeah, this one reminded me a lot of that. And then of course we get that really quick little hand-to-hand scene before.
Yeah.
With Stallone fighting the Nameless Thug and Kurt Russell fighting Breon James, Rakeen, and then dropping the grenade down his pants and kicking him down a stairwell, which, like,
boom.
Such, like, I love over-the-top kills in these movies. Like, they're so good.
They're the best.
Yes, absolutely.
Like in Die Hard. Like, that, I don't know, that's, for some reason that brought me back to Die Hard, just because of the way that guy was, and he's fighting, like, John McClane's fighting all like the Swedish guys.
Yeah, definitely. There's always that big bad is like, man, we better get a hand to hand scene here.
Yeah.
Also, I want to say how ridiculous it is during the prison sequence of the film. How ridiculously easy it is that Perrette and Breon James get in and get out.
Yeah,
like with tipping off guards and stuff. Like,
yeah,
there are still checkpoints you have to go through.
Yeah,
like,
you just had to like duck behind the fog and like, oh, I'm gone.
Yeah, like it's like, yep, just hey, this is a prison. They're easy to get in and out of, right?
Yeah,
that's how these work,
right?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of plot hole stuff that, like, you kind of just have to be like, fuck
it. Gotta roll with
the movie is called Tango and Cash.
Yeah, what were you expecting?
Yeah, precisely. So, yeah, it's a... Well, like, and the fact, too, that once Tango and Cash are framed, like the, they get transported to the wrong prison.
Yeah, like how does like, that happen?
And like and their captains are investigating it, but like 24 to like 36 hours pass, and like they're still not on top of it. It's like how does nobody coming in?
I don't know. Maybe communications were bad in the 80s.
Yeah, I guess they didn't have cell phones.
Is that like the Pony Express or something?
Yeah, where's internal affairs during all of this?
Yeah,
get it together. I also love to like because this definitely comes when like buddy cop films were definitely like there's like kind of a golden era of buddy cop type movies. I feel it was between like probably like 87 and 95.
Yeah,
because you get the first couple of Lethal Weapons in that stretch. Yeah. Only slightly predating that is the first 48 Hours with Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy, which is a great one. And then, of course, you get, like, Tango and Cash. Then you get stuff like Last Boy Scout with Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans.
Yeah.
And then, like, The Long Kiss Goodnight, which is not necessarily, like, a cop movie, but it's definitely, like, a buddy action film with Gina Davis and Sam Jackson, which is fucking phenomenal. So, like, yeah, it's kind of like, that stretch is, like, the golden era of, like, buddy action films.
Yeah, and you've got, like, some today, but I don't know. I haven't really seen...
Yeah, like, it's definitely, yeah, like, and that's part of what I like. We just did the entire Expendables trilogy, and part of what I like about that is that it's such a throwback to, or at least conceptually, it's a throwback to, like, these kind of simpler action films, and I like that. I can appreciate when an action film maybe is trying to say something, but I also, I'm not opposed to just going into a movie for an hour and a half to 2 hours and just kind of turning my brain off and eating some popcorn and just having a good time.
And that's why I
get asked so many times, like, oh, why do you like these action movies? Like, why do you like Schwarzenegger? Because they're fucking fun.
Yeah.
Like, not everything has to be There Will Be Blood or No Country for Old Men. I love those movies, too.
They're great movies.
But, like, sometimes I just want to see fucking Schwarzenegger
just like throw a knife into somebody and say stick around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can appreciate the finer things, but ultimately at the end of the day I'm a simple man with simple taste.
Yeah.
And I feel like and action movies definitely cater to that, and some of them even go above and beyond that. Like Die Hard is one that, like, legitimately I will defend is a good film, not just a great action movie, but it's a great film too.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Like, it's fucking solid. So, like, the first two Terminators, also in that same vein as well.
Yeah.
And like, despite that, too, like, for all the negative things people have to say about movies like this, like, oh, the story's cliche and the writing's bad. It's like, fuck you. Like, what? Do you want everything to be Boyhood? Like, not everything can be, like, a Richard Linklater or a fucking P.T. Anderson or a Coen Brothers or a Scorsese film. And I like those films. But if everything starts becoming, I don't know, fucking Atonement or Doubt or what the fuck else ever, then none of those movies are going to stand out. Like,
yeah, no. You can't have too many.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, I mean, you have to have a variety of movies. Like, I hate stuff like Meet the Spartans and Disaster Movie, like, and all those shitty, awful parody movies.
Yeah.
But, like, I think just the fact that they exist... Like, at least for me personally, it makes me appreciate the things that I like way more. Because, like, I'll watch them out of curiosity because I love watching bad movies. It's kind of one of my things. Like, I just love movies in general. Even watching shitty ones, I don't love those movies. But it's always a fun experience to watch them and just be like, oh, man, I'm going to hug Die Hard a little harder tonight before I go to sleep and make sure it knows how much I love it.
Yeah. Or, like, yeah, especially when you're watching it with people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I watched, it was a while ago, I watched Troll 2.
Oh, yeah, people. Yeah.
Oh, and that was, it's a terrible movie, but it's so much fun.
But it's a fun experience, yeah. It's so much fun. Like, stuff like that, stuff like The Room.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun. And I hate that there's this stigma that art can't be fun.
No.
It was like, oh, it has to say something. It's like, I mean, it is, like, even if it's not, like, something... fucking great, like, even if it's not some deep existential introspective shit, like, it's still fun, like, it can still say something.
Yeah.
And I think even bad movies have something to say. It's not always executed well, and it's not even always obvious from the outset, but, like, I think everything does have a purpose, like, and I I just hate that movies in the genre get dismissed so much by, like I think film critic is it's a job that I would love to have, but it's also a profession that I largely fucking hate.
Yeah.
Because most critics, like, with very few exceptions, are people who criticize something that's been created without actually offering anything themselves but an opinion.
Yeah, it's like, why do you get to decide this movie's bad?
It's like, who the fuck are you? Like, something like Avatar or Waterworld are fucking shit shows. Like, they're not great stories. Like, they're huge spectacle films.
Yeah.
But, like, people fucking worked hard on those movies.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of blood and sweat and tears and money and
hours,
fucking effort. Yeah.
Time people that are never,
like,
going to get
first
back.
Yeah, like, relationships ruined over things like that.
Yeah, like a computer graphics artist, like...
Yeah. Well, like, and every time I watch, like, a terrible movie, like... Honestly, if I watch, say, I don't know, like, the Amazing Spider-Man, like, the first reboot one with Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
I like Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man, and I think there's a couple things in that movie I like, but the first one's not very good at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fucking mess. But, like, or even, like, a Batman and Robin, which, universally, for the most part, is a pretty panned and reviled film.
Yeah.
If somebody asked me to fucking be in Batman and Robin, and I read the script, and I even looked at it, I was like, this is dog shit. Like, I would still probably fucking
do it.
Because, like, it's fun. Like, and every actor has, like, something terrible on their resume. Like,
yeah.
Nobody has a flawless film resume. Everybody's been in something not good at some point. But, like, at the end of the day, if the worst thing that happened to you is you got paid to be in something that wasn't really liked or successful,
yeah,
like what does it fucking matter?
Yeah.
Like,
there's some kid tied to a tree sewing soccer balls together, so.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I don't think there's such a thing, at least as far as art is concerned, as, like, universally bad.
Yeah.
Like one of the things I like about How Did This Get Made, Paul Scheer's podcast with Jake Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael, where they watch terrible movies. So it's essentially, like, the other side of the coin to this podcast. And it's definitely largely what inspired me to do this one. But I was like, what if I did movies that I liked instead, though, for a change? Because it's so easy to, like, sit there and bag on stuff. But even when they're ripping into bad movies, like, it's clearly something that they enjoy doing. Like, they're having fun doing it.
Yeah.
Nobody's just like, oh, this is miserable.
Oh,
kill
dogs.
Me. But, like, fuck, I lost my train of thought. I got all fired up and going on it. I completely lost where I was going.
Hey, at least you didn't lose consciousness and, like, just start talking about something else randomly.
That's very true. Oh, as far as the idea of universally bad... So on How Did This Get Made, like, they do a segment called Second Opinion where they read, like, 5-star reviews of the movie. And they watch a lot of garbage, like, stuff like Judge Dredd and, like, Congo and the Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck. But there are people, like, that are in the minority, typically, that do like a lot of these garbage movies.
Yeah.
So, like, at the end of the day, somebody fucking liked it. So I don't see what the harm is.
Yeah. No, it's not
like... It's why I don't get pissed about remakes anymore. It's like, we're going to go see the new Ninja Turtles tomorrow.
Yeah, we're doing it.
And I honestly, like...
I might not like it.
Yeah, I don't expect it to be good, but I want it to be.
Yeah.
Like, I absolutely... Like, I'm not going because I like sitting in a theater and being cunty about things. Like, that's an expensive habit anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I've certainly gone to movies that I didn't expect to be good in the past... But I went expecting to at least have a good time.
Yeah.
Maybe Ninja Turtles, the new one from Michael Bay, will be that. Maybe it won't.
Yeah.
But, like, ultimately, I hope that it is.
I think it'll be, at the bare minimum, very entertaining.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, and I'm curious. Like, I'm interested. And I think... I don't know. I think, like, if you're interested in anything, like, whether it's music or film or whatever the fuck it is you're interested in... I think you have to be just as aware and, like, conscious of bad examples as you do good examples.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's kind of like that there is no light without dark kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, you need these things, like, to kind of offset it and to show you that it is different. Because, like, if everything was There Will Be Blood, it'd be very boring.
Yeah.
And
nobody,
I say that, and that's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
But if everything started being that, it's why I hate the Oscars. Because, like, almost everything that gets nominated every year anymore is, like, it's very clearly, it's like, oh, it's a biopic, or it's this dramatic tale. Like, I can't even think of the last time, like, a comedy got appreciation from the Oscars. It's been years.
Yeah.
And I hate that, like, they're that's sending the message that only stuff that takes itself way too seriously and, like, is just full of itself.
Big actors.
Yeah. Well, and even that, like, and stuff, like I mentioned earlier, like, stuff like fucking Atonement, like, fucking period pieces. I don't give a shit about those things. Like, I would much rather watch something like The Patriot with Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Or fucking Braveheart. Or even Almost Heroes with Matthew Perry and Chris Farley. Yeah. Like, I would rather watch something like that than something like Atonement or Doubt or whatever other fucking Oscar bait fucking period piece is getting made. Because that's more interesting to me. And I know that people like those movies, and that's totally fine.
Yeah,
but
they are good movies.
Yeah, like, yeah. But the message that the fucking Academy Awards sends every year is that those are the only movies that are worthy of, like, recognition.
Yeah,
and fuck that. That's such a poisonous mentality, and I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, they are worthy of recognition, but there's good movies. There's good movies besides those ones.
Yeah, like there's so many movies too that, like, have won Best Picture. Like The Last Emperor or Chariots of Fire or How Green Was My Valley.
Yeah.
And Chariots of Fire won the fucking Academy Award the same year that Raiders of the Lost Ark came out. And even, like, 30 years later, it's very obvious which one history remembers better out of those two movies.
Yeah, we remember a song from Chariots of Fire.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen the movie. I just know that
song. I've never
song.
Seen it either.
Yeah, I just know that song.
Like, and I have no interest. Like, I think I tried watching it once. I got 10 minutes into it, and I was like, this is fucking boring.
Yeah, I had, like, flashbacks.
I'm not interested in this movie.
Yeah, I had flashbacks to high school track team.
Yeah, like, Shane Splint, cool. Dustin. A movie about people running. Oh, what's this? Harrison Ford as an explorer, like, going on fun adventures. And fuck yes, I'm going to watch that one over anytime.
Yeah, you give me a synopsis of both those movies and put them next to each other, I'm going to pick Raiders of the Lost Ark every time.
Absolutely. And again, it's one of those ones. And that, like, even in recent years with, like, the Oscars, like, I want to say it was either 2009 or 2010, where something like The Hurt Locker, King's Speech won.
Yeah.
And those aren't bad movies.
Oh, yeah.
But they're certainly, I wouldn't think of either of them and say, this is the best that this year had to offer in terms of movies. And there were some great fucking movies, too. Like, 2010, same year that fucking Scott Pilgrim vs. the World came out. One of the most interesting films I've ever seen. And it's a great film, it's an engaging film, it's a fun film, and it's fucking different. Like, but because of just the way that everybody, like, has their set definition of what high art is, it got fucking shafted. Like, it didn't do very well at the box office. And I hate that when studios, it's just like with Pacific Rim that came out last year too. Like, when studios back kind of these long shot movies.
Yeah.
And then, like, they either don't do as well or they're completely disregarded because it's like, oh, Pacific Rim is fucking gigantic robots fighting monsters. And you know what? It's one of the most fun fucking things I saw last year.
Oh, yeah. Visually, I got my mind blown.
Yeah. So, like, I don't think it's fair to say that that is somehow dumber or less important than any of, like, the typical Oscars stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just the world we live in. And that's why I will defend action movies. That's why I will defend the Transporter series. That's why I will defend the first Crank film.
You will champion their cause.
Absolutely, I fucking will. Like, and I'm not saying that people have to like them better. That's fine. If you want to like The King's Speech more than Crank or The Transporter, that's totally cool. But don't fucking sit there and tell me that those movies can't be good or that they can't be fun or that I can't enjoy them because they don't measure up to whatever bullshit standard of those kinds of, like, the high art or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just want to see Judge Dredd again.
Oh, man. It's... I cannot in good... Wait, Judge Dredd or Dredd?
I've seen Dredd. I'd like to see Judge Dredd. I just want to see Sylvester Stallone be Judge Dredd.
I'll let you borrow it after we're done with it for Big Dumb Picture Show. But It's something. It's something. I think we got to a good point. We kind of strayed a little, but I feel like that's a good point.
Yeah,
to say in the final episode, as far as a month full of action movies.
Yeah, we ran the train off the tracks a little bit.
That's all right.
It's a good discussion.
Yeah, certainly. let's wrap it up with our favorite moments, and then we'll call it good night for Tango and Cash.
I like it where Kurt Russell got shot directly through the elbow.
Yeah,
and somehow it was only a minor flesh wound.
Yeah, yeah. Totally cool.
It's like, no, there's a joint there, Kurt Russell.
Yep. I can still fight. It's cool.
You're going to need some rehabilitation.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't mention Terry Hatcher, who plays Stallone's sister in the film.
Yeah.
One of her earliest appearances in film, I think, if I remember right. She's great. I still think, for me, my favorite part of this movie is the prison escape.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. And Kurt Russell and Stallone, even if this movie was kind of cookie cutter as far as like buddy cop movies go,
yeah,
like they're both very charismatic and captivating performers. So like, even though maybe the material's not up to the level that they are, like they're definitely putting in the effort. Like and they're very fun to watch.
It's a good watch.
Yeah, I liked it. It's a fun time.
I was not bored or disappointed at any point in the movie. I was just like, This is what I was looking for.
Bam. And sometimes that's all you want.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Peter Brick, thank you so much for coming on and doing the podcast again.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for listening. And we'll catch you next month when we're doing Tarantino all month for the next Truckin' Over the Pop Culture Mixtape.
Oh, that could be good.
Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.